Light as a pattern of freckles, spare as the robin in spring, scant as a sprinkle of sugar, and I find that our beat is just the thing. It's better spars, limit all of the action. I find I can't focus on more than one thing. I like it spars.
That's South Dakota singer-songwriter Jamie Lynn with the title song from her new six-track CD. It's called Sparse. She was joined by members of the JAS Quintet, Jeff Paul, piano, Daniel Heyer on drums, and Andrew Reinerts on bass. And Reinerts co-wrote the song with Jamie Lynn, and he is her collaborator on the album. Lynn is best known for her folk-styled music, as heard on her previous album, for example, Fall is a Good Time to Die, which also featured Andrew Reinerts on bass. But her influences also include jazz legends like Billie Holiday, Fats Waller, and Sarah Vaughan. And this past spring, Lynn sang the songs of Holiday in a pair of concerts with the JAS Quintet. Sparse includes a couple of songs from that Holiday program, along with a pair of originals, the standard Autumn Leaves, and a song by Gillian Welch. And Jamie Lynn and Andrew Reinerts present a CD release concert on Friday evening in Spearfish at the Matthews Opera House. And they're both with me on the line. And Jamie and Andrew, welcome back to Jazz Nightly.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks for having us, Carl.
Well, that song we just heard, Sparse, I'm wondering, Jamie, how that came together. Did it kind of start with just you and Andrew singing and playing together?
Well, I kind of had the lick and some of the lyrics done, but it wasn't anything. It really wasn't coming together. And until we actually got together for our two recording sessions to make this album, it wasn't complete at all. So I kind of brought it to Andrew and asked him to kind of workshop some ideas, and he got right in there and finished all of my sentences. when we added Jeff and Dan, like they really filled out the spots and really made it into the song that it is. We weren't sure if it was something we were going to keep on the album or if it would even come together, but it did. We were really excited about it. Actually, and surprised at how it turned out.
Andrew, how did that work when Jamie brought that in? Did you just say, hey, there's something good here, and you kind of ran with it?
Yeah, it was one, you know, ironically, I think this is probably the case for me as well with any tune that I'm a little unsure of. I tend to think the worst of it when there's probably something really good underneath everything, but when you've been kind of dealing with it as a songwriter for a while, you start to... you kind of lose the forest for the trees in a way. And so when Jamie brought that in, it was just such a strong lick in my mind. It just had a vibe to it. And kind of we just played around with it. And after finding a little bit of a bass riff that sort of complemented her vocals, then as Jamie said, it was really when Dan and Jeff came in too. There's kind of one chord Jeff Paul plays that now in my mind is kind of, I wish that we had written it for the song beforehand, because it's just so perfect and kind of makes the song what it is.
Jamie, is that the joy of collaborating right there?
Absolutely. You know, I spent way too much time playing music with myself, and these guys, the magic that they bring to every song that we work up together, it's just so fun to be a part of. It's fun to hear more than just my own voice and to... maybe start an idea or send an idea out and then hear how they interpret it. And it's incredibly rewarding and energizing to get to perform with these guys. They're incredible musicians, and the things that they bring to the table are things that I never would have thought of on my own.
Well, Jamie, I'm wondering if this CD was inspired by the Billie Holiday concerts that you did with these guys, the Jazz Quintet, or did you already have the idea of maybe doing a more jazz-oriented project?
Andrew and I have been talking about this album for years, probably as many as 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just been throwing ideas back and forth, and last year we finally sat down and made a list, and we had these recording sessions scheduled for a Monday and Tuesday after the Billie Holiday concert, so it was perfect. You know, we've been working together to prepare for that show, and so kind of had some energy going together. So when we went into our recording sessions with Dalton Coffey and Eddie Ferris, it was like we already had something going. That's really what it felt like. You know, we'd really taken a couple of those Billie Holiday tunes and gotten our groove going on them. And so it really worked well to do it that way, to record right after playing those shows.
Andrew, how long have you been working with Jamie Lynn? I know that you've been on her previous recordings. I mentioned Fall is a Good Time to Die, another outstanding Jamie Lynn recording. How long have you two been playing together, and when did you first meet?
Boy, I wish I could remember the exact timeline, but I know the first time I met Jamie was actually probably down at Touch of Europe, the jazz club that used to be in Sioux Falls. She was down in Vermilion at the time, and would come up and sit in with a couple different groups or just come see music. And so even though most people know of her as kind of a more Americana vocalist, and that's the previous recording I've done with her, I think I actually really met her first as sort of a jazz-inspired vocalist, which is probably, 9-10 years ago now almost. And then we'd gotten lucky enough to work together here and there just on some things, and then started playing together a little bit more. I actually recorded just a couple of bass tracks for the duo album that she and Dylan James put out a few years ago. And that kind of led towards us wanting to work together on Fall is a Good Time to Die and kind of continuing the collaboration from there.
Jamie, have you always been singing jazz? Has that always been a part of what you do along with the Americana and the more folk-style music?
You know, I suppose that I started playing, you know, like folk music and country music before I started playing jazz, but not long. I first started listening to Billie Holiday when I was in high school. My sister brought home the Decca recordings, and I was really inspired by it, but I didn't get an opportunity to sing with a band until I was in college, and I met Joel Shotwell. He was at USD while I was there, and he's a member of Andrew's group, the JAS Quintet, which all of those members played on this album, which is kind of funny, you know, that they were the first group that I had an opportunity to sing with years and years ago, and now we finally ended up making a record together, so that's kind of neat.
Do you take a different approach, Jamie, in your singing when you're performing jazz and standards? Do you have to do anything differently than when you're doing the more Americana material?
You know, I would say that I have to be more relaxed than when I'm playing folk music. Otherwise, it doesn't come out the same way. I feel like when I sing jazz, like I feel like my voice is it's less manipulated or less constrained than any other style of music that I'm doing, because it almost requires that, which I think is kind of interesting, because I consider it a lot harder to perform jazz than other styles of music that I like to play, but I think it's really where my voice is most comfortable.
Is it hard to relax, or have you gotten comfortable with this material after a while?
I think it is pretty hard for me to relax. I suppose I'm kind of an A-type personality, and it is more difficult for me to relax and get out of my own way. Because that's really when the best music happens, and definitely when the best jazz happens, when you think less and feel more. And I think that's what this style of music calls for.
Andrew, what do you think of Jamie Lynn as a jazz singer?
I think she's fantastic. I think that she's always been quite good, but to really hear her blossom into it over the last few years, and then over the course of kind of preparing both just a lot of the gigs we've been doing, but then preparing for the Billie Holiday show in this recording session, I think kind of bumped it up even another notch. What I think a lot of improvised music, jazz being one of those, but not the only one, you really need to listen, and you really need to be open to what's around you. And I think Jamie's a really rare primarily solo artist that is open like that. I think that just when you're used to playing by yourself, you kind of get used to being in your own groove and sort of doing your thing. But it's both easy to collaborate with Jamie, and she's very open to what's going on around her and reacting to what else is happening in the band. And it's kind of a shared experience, and not just one person kind of running everything or being the only center of attention kind of thing.
This is Jazz Nightly on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and my guests are bassist Andrew Reinarts and singer-songwriter Jamie Lynn. They're releasing a new 6-track CD, Sparse, and they're presenting a CD release concert Friday evening at the Matthews Opera House in Spearfish. That's a part of the Club Matthews Jazz Series. And Jamie, the name of the album, Sparse, is that sort of the theme of the album as well, would you say, both musically and maybe thematically?
Yeah, I think, you know, we kind of struggled with naming this project, or even, you know, naming who produced this project. But I think even though that was a song that we weren't even sure that was going to make the cut when we started out, it did kind of make sense, because a lot of the arrangements on this album, two in particular, one, the Gillian Welch tune by Andrew, his arrangement of that song, really has space. And that did end up being a theme on this album. You know, whether it's a standard tune or there's one that's just vocal and bass. And that is an interesting, I don't know, I think it's an interesting way to perform Autumn Leaves, because, you know, we've got to fill all the space, but then we have to choose whether to fill all the space. You know, it is kind of a common theme throughout the whole album. It worked in the end, since that song made the cut.
For you, Andrew, you know, a bass so often is in a supporting role, but here, particularly in something like Autumn Leaves, which is a duet with Jamie, you're up front there. You're right center stage too.
Yeah, you know, it's I think that's one thing I've actually though really loved about being a bass player, is that you can really influence the way things are going without having to be that person up front the whole time. You know, you can really adjust. I can change the root of the chord by picking a different note, and it can change the whole feel of the piece without having to be the front person right up out there. But then for a tune like Autumn Leaves, I mean, it was nerve-wracking for the first few times we performed it, with no piano, no guitar, no nothing, just bass and voice. But to really have that interplay, it's kind of two melodic instruments interacting with each other, instead of really just being an accompaniment instrument to the main vocal line.
Jamie, you were talking about being relaxed to sing this music. I'm wondering about the environment of making a record, knowing that this is, you know, unlike a live performance, it's like, okay, there, it's you know, it's there and it's gone. But here, you're preserving the sound, the music that you're making. Making a record, is that, and you've done this a number of times now, but is there a certain amount of pressure to try to get everything right and perfect?
I think in most cases there is a lot of pressure. And my other projects, I've definitely felt that. But this recording experience was completely different, namely because this album was recorded live, and I don't mean live in front of a studio audience or, you know, a live show at a bar. It was recorded live, and that all the instruments played at the same time. So it was like we were playing for a show, but without an audience. We were all mic'd, and that made for such a different experience than my other recording experiences. The other albums that I've made, you know, you go through and you record the guitar line first, and you get that perfect, and you play it, you know, half a dozen times or however long it takes you. And then you come back and do a vocal line, and then, you know, maybe somebody will come and play a, you know, a dobro solo or a guitar solo or whatever. And there's just, you lose something, I think, in the music when you do that. And you also change the experience. This experience was it was awesome. You know, we were all there together, playing the music with each other. And I think with jazz, you know, you really need that energy flowing between players and that interplay between instruments and the push and the pull. You really get that when you record things live. And so this recording experience was by far my favorite. And we were sad when it was over. we finished too quick. We had blocked off another day to finish the album, but we didn't end up needing it. So, I was kind of bummed when it was over because it was so much fun. It was just a really great recording environment, and we had a lot of fun with it.
You'll have to make another one with these guys.
Indeed, I will.
Now, as I mentioned, Jamie, you did the Billie Holiday show at the JS Quintet with Andrew Reinhartz, and there you did, I don't know, what was maybe a couple of dozen Billie Holiday songs. Here on this album, you chose two that you did for those shows, Baby, I Don't Cry Over You and Don't Explain. Why were those two chosen out of all the other songs that you did with the quintet live?
I guess one of them, so Don't Explain is an original arrangement, an arrangement that I did. And that's kind of why we chose that tune. You know, at that concert, we had some original arrangements. We had, you know, we took some arrangements from other artists that had redone these songs, and some of them were straight, just the way that Billie Holiday had performed them. And I guess that's why we chose Don't Explain, because it was a different arrangement than had been recorded by other artists. And Baby, I Don't Cry Over You just ended up being a really tough song to find anywhere. Like, not to our knowledge, like, we couldn't find any other recordings of it. I couldn't find sheet music of it. It was hard to find who wrote the song. Andrew ended up doing transcribing the tune, and it is pretty, you know, pretty close to the way that Billie Holiday does it, but just a song that you don't hear as much. So it kind of gave us a chance to, you know, get the 1920s, 30s upbeat vibe mixed in with the rest of the album.
And you mentioned Don't Explain, Jamie, which is one of Billie Holiday's most autobiographical songs. She co-wrote it, and you make it very much your own with your own very personal take. And as you said, it was your arrangement. How did you go about making that arrangement for yourself and making it so personal, to make it Jamie Lynn's song?
Well, you know, I think, like, when I first sat down and was plunking around with it, I had been learning I'm a very, very beginner level jazz guitarist, really beginner. it was the few chords that I knew, and playing around with the ones that I did know is kind of how I got the different chord structure going. You know, I have it in a more minor key than she plays it in. But it really didn't become what it is until adding the rest of the band. You know, I mean, arranging it is one thing, but what they choose to play and when they choose to play, and especially adding that rhythm section in there, completely reshaped the song. Like, you know, I thought it was neat when I, you know, got this different chord structure going, but by the end of that weekend playing it with the rest of the guys from the JAS quintet, it was really something else. It was amazing what they were able to add to it and you know, how they reshaped it.
And I should mention, there's also a very strong saxophone solo from Joel Shotwell on that. Just wonderful.
Absolutely. It was fun being there while it's happening.
And Andrew, for you, Jamie's take on Don't Explain and the arrangements that, you know, how this all came together. Was it fun for you to be a part of that, to see this evolve when Jamie brought this arrangement in and worked it out with the band?
Yeah, definitely. That was a great one. And actually, that was an interesting one. The very first rehearsal, I distinctly remember she had sent sort of a rough demo track of just her and guitar. But the demo track, sometimes a tune can either be sort of half time with double timed strumming, or it might be that fast. And, you know, I wasn't really sure what she was going for, but it was such a great, it was kind of one of those either way, it was going to really work. And I just remember that by the time then Dan on drums, really, it's a minimal drum part, but the way he added it in just kind of radically changed what my ear originally heard on the demo recording. And so it was fun just to see that sort of, it was almost like a picture was just a little bit out of focus, and then that one player kind of just pops it right into focus, and you go, oh, well, this is what the rest of it needs to be now, and it kind of just comes together.
The CD release concert is on Friday in Spearfish, the Matthews Opera House, part of the Club Matthews series. And Jamie, I'm assuming that you'll be playing more than just the music from the new CD, Sparse?
That's right. Yeah. So this is a pretty tiny album. It's actually, ironically, it's longer than some of my folk albums that I've released in runtime, but there's only six songs on it. So yes, we will be playing more than this album. We've, over the years, we've been able to work up a pretty good slew of songs actually to choose from. So we're excited to perform them on Friday.
And Andrew, who else is in the band there on Friday night?
So on the CD release show, it'll be Dan Heyer on drums, Jim Spears on trumpet, and Joel Shotwell on saxophone from the JAS Quintet, and Jeff Paul, our pianist, his day job is actually playing principal oboe with the South Dakota Symphony, because he's one of those guys that has way too much talent, and it kind of annoys us all. But he actually has the first concert. They're doing some Strauss this weekend, so Jeremy Haig is filling in kindly on piano, who's going to do a wonderful job, as always. And then Jamie also has a couple of other musicians from West River joining us. So Ingrid Lane will join on a couple of tunes on violin, and J.D. Fiedler will join us for a tune on guitar as well. So it'll be a nice kind of rotating cast of characters, and we'll have a really fun time working those tunes up.
Well, Andrew and Jamie, congratulations on this new album, Sparse. I'm looking forward to playing it on Jazz Nightly. I've been playing a couple of tracks so far. And thanks so much for joining me on Jazz Nightly, and I look forward to talking with you again very soon.
Thank you so much, Carl. We've enjoyed talking
with you.
Yeah,
thanks, Carl.